You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
What's up, everyone?
Everybody.
Backstreet's back.
All right.
Gerald's here.
Andy is in La Casa.
And we are together, the Two Peas.
Yes.
We are together.
And are we in a podcast?
This,
a pod. Are we in a pod?
We are on a pod.
We should actually record from a pod one time.
You know what? We should be in a pod and do a pod. That'd
correct.
Be just meta as shit, brother.
I just finally got the reason our title is our title. Like, you mean like in a pod?
People,
oh, it's hilarious.
Oh,
Two Peas in a pod.
You know, some people don't get that. Some people are like,
what are you talking about?
And then they're like, oh, okay, because it's a podcast. I'm like, wow. I need new friends.
No, those are our listeners. Those are the people I think we appeal to, or at least you appeal to.
I think you're right. Gerald's here. Andy's here.
Yes.
Two Peas on a podcast.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
And, we're doing top fives, man. We're having fun.
Are we?
And,
are we having fun?
And this one that we're doing today, I know is a little difficult for you, but look, we just kicked off February.
Okay,
it's
did.
The month of love. Now, before
it's
we get started.
It's the month of love.
Before we get started, what do you do for your wife, man? You do the Valentine's thing? Because my wife's not into it.
Now, we used to do, we have a lot of Valentine's memorabilia, a lot of heart stuff, love stuff. We like that kind of stuff around the house, a lot of candles and things. Especially since the kids are born, we don't really go out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
We're pretty romantic folk.
Too hectic,
I
right?
think, but we don't plan around that.
You guys get busy at your restaurant. About
yes,
that?
I'm not even sure. I can't.
You
even
don't
remember.
Really work on Valentine's.
Yeah, but I probably. What day is a week of it? Is it this year?
This year's like during it's like a Wednesday or something.
Yeah, so I'll probably work, and she's okay with that.
I mean, my wife's not into it, man. She hates like quote unquote Hallmark holidays.
Oh,
she can't. She's like, I mean, you love me, right? So why do you tell me one day a year in the middle of February? Like,
when she
who cares?
Says, when she says you love me, right? Do you pause? Like, ooh.
I go, yeah, of course I do. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So
you want some chocolate? Or something?
I don't know. I guess I kind of got lucky in that respect from a husband standpoint because she don't care.
It's kind of both.
But yeah. The reason I bring it up, what are we counting down today?
Top five romantic comedies, or kids say, rom-coms.
Rom-coms, that's right. Yeah, romantic comedy. So tell everyone, because you were telling me off air that you had a little bit, you struggled a
this
little
was
bit.
Very difficult with for me, because I don't watch a lot of romantic comedies. Like, if you think of like the classic romantic comedies, I don't want to say any of the names because I don't want to give away things
sure,
that
yeah,
might be on
course.
Your list. But a lot of these we would consider like, oh, the like these are the romantic comedies. This is what the genre is all about. I haven't seen a lot of those movies. My wife and I don't watch a lot of those movies. So this time, Gerald, I actually had to do a little research, go on Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, look at the top rom-coms of all time and say, okay, I've seen that. Oh, that's a romantic comedy? So my list is a bit untraditional, I think.
Okay.
You know,
well, you do that, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty untraditional anyway.
But I love that about you, and so do the listeners, to be honest.
But I'm not to get into it and to give anything away, but my number one romantic comedy is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh.
So that's kind of cool. And it's definitely a romantic comedy.
Okay.
So that's cool.
You got me intrigued there. Okay. I'm excited.
Are you,
and what
are
do you think? What do you think for crossover? You said maybe a couple. Do you think crossover wise?
I think the one I'm talking about, I think we have a good chance of crossing over.
Okay.
Maybe
the one
two.
That was your favorite
say,
of all time, you
I'd
said?
Say two, maybe. But then again, you're weird. So, I mean, you're weird. You'll probably say Halloween is my type.
Hey,
Jamie Lee Curtis. And
dude, they really came together in the most recent version of that series.
Yes.
Jamie Lee and Michael.
Are you good? Is
you
there
could,
any?
You could see something.
Are there any Thrasher movies on your list?
You mean Slasher? Thrasher would be like Rad, which is also not on my list.
Rad. You remember Rad?
I do remember.
That was a. I used to rent that on video stuff. Cassette at the Kroger like every week.
That was good stuff.
And ride my BMX bike.
So
that's
got,
a great movie.
Before we get into the countdown for our top five romantic comedies in honor of Valentine's Day in February, what you got? You got a one cool thing. This
am I cool?
You are cool, but you know, we do the one cool thing.
We do.
What's something cool that's happened since the last time we were together?
What has happened that's cool? Hey, this is on the horizon. It hasn't happened yet, but I've been thinking about it a lot lately. My father turned 70.
Nice.
You're almost there.
Yeah,
but my father turned 70 in March. So when I think about one cool thing, I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. To think, because you know, when you think about your parents,
just lived life, bro.
They never really seem old to you.
True.
Like your grandparents.
Well, when you're young.
Yeah.
Like even, when I was young, yeah. I thought my parents were fucking senior citizens. And they were like 30. You know what I mean? But now, as you get older, yes. You're like, they're not that old.
Yeah, but my father is going to be 70 this year. It's kind of crazy because I just think of him as this eternal youth.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my one cool thing.
That's,
you know,
cool,
my father's turning 70. We're going to celebrate.
Well, mine's not as deep as that. My one cool thing, and I actually told you about it before we started recording. So shortly after this episode airs, I'll be having a new baby.
Ooh, yeah. You'll be having the baby. See, that's the cool thing.
Yeah, the cool thing
is the one having the baby.
The cool thing is science has caught up. And I'm going to be the first male giving birth. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be there. It's going to be great. So
Arnold Schwarzenegger? Why would he?
He's a junior. You know, because our twins.
Oh, that's right.
Junior, because he gets pregnant in junior. Is it junior that he gets pregnant in?
Dude, you lost me. Is that on your list?
That actually is going to be a romantic comedy,
too. Is that on your list? Rom-com?
No.
Twins?
But the one cool thing, of course, that is a cool thing, but it hasn't happened yet.
That is very
cool. But the one cool thing leading up to that is we have a project ongoing where I told you. So when Logan was born, my 5-year-old that I currently have, we had these block letters kind of made to be like a headboard.
L-O-G-A-N.
Yeah. Logan, yeah. And each letter has a different Marvel character on it.
And your wife was cool with that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, Logan comes from Wolverine.
Absolutely. So Wolverine's one of the
That's a great name.
Letters.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, like Spider-Man's up there, Hulk's up there. You know, so it has all the Marvel characters on it.
That's wonderful. So now your wife is pretty cool, you know.
So now for my new son,
okay,
which I don't know if I'm supposed to announce the name, so I'll just tell you what the theme is. So he's going to have each letter of his name is going to be a different Star Wars character.
Can I live in this room?
Can I come sleep? Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be up your alley, brother.
Give me a little bed and a little corner?
Absolutely.
Just a cot or a cage.
It'll be up your alley, brother.
One of his little dog cages.
But anyway, each letter has a different Star Wars character.
Dude,
and it's
going to
be above his crib. He's going to have a little kind of space Star Wars theme going on.
My wife would never go. But then we have girls. So I wonder if we had boys, she would let me do
Well, you know,
the
with girls, you could do this empowering with Rey. And I mean, you could do all that now.
You're right. See, look at me. I'm being gender biased.
I mean, come on.
I'm being gender biased.
All right, brother. So that's my one cool thing. I'm excited to get his room set up and just excited for him to be here, man.
Yeah, man.
Logan's pumped to have a little brother, dude.
Dude, is he?
I mean, he is like.
He's old enough to kind of get it. Like, there's a child coming.
We went to a sibling class, which is like, they teach. Well, because they don't want young kids to feel neglected that there's a new baby in the house, which
even though they're going to be neglected.
Which, of course, demands a lot of attention or whatever. So he went to the sibling class, and which is kind of like my second cool thing that we did since the last time you were here.
That is cool.
But, you know, they practice on the baby, changing clothes, like how to hold them, feed them. You know, okay. So there's all these dolls to practice with.
Okay.
And he goes and picks the black one, you know.
Is this
he breaks it over.
And does he know something that you don't know?
So wife,
has
like,
his mom told him?
So a wife, I'm like, you got some explaining to do. You know
exactly.
What, I mean? What the hell is this?
Hey, this one looks like the mailman.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway. My son, a little humor on a Saturday morning there at the sibling class.
But, that's romantic.
All right. So you want to do it, man? Let's count down our top five romantic comedies.
Top five romantic
You ready?
I'm ready.
Stand by.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And here we go.
All right, so who wants to go first? Do you want to go first?
Let me go first because I want to set the stage.
I will,
if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, and you want to tell people, you want to kind of give people a little preface as to maybe some of them aren't romantic comedies.
Because my my number five, I don't know if it was a romantic comedy. I saw it on the top 100 list. I love this movie. There is a romantic element that goes through the movie. There is a relationship, but it's also about the evolution of this one character. But part of his evolution is the fact that he really likes this girl and figuring out how to like her, and it climaxes with him coming to know her and him to know him.
Okay.
My number five, okay, be cool.
Yeah.
My number five is Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you consider Groundhog Day a romantic comedy?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually considered it for my list, but it didn't make it.
I mean, Groundhog Day is one of those movies that I love so much, I never even put it on my top list because it's just, you just take it for granted. It's such a good movie. It's about the evolution of Bill Murray's character. He's caught in the cycle of time. He's interested in Andy McDowell. Is that? Mm-hmm. And he's interested in Andy McDowell's character. But over this evolution, he goes from being just interested in her, trying to get her in, quote, the sack, to actually falling in love with her.
Yeah, of course.
And it hits this moment where, you know, the last day he's there, he's trying to live this perfect day and he succeeds. And he makes this sculpture of her out of ice. Mm-hmm. Out of snow, and he turns it toward her, and she sees it, and she's like, "Oh my God, you just did that!" And he says, "I know your face so well; I could have done it with my eyes closed."
Wow!
So Groundhog Day, it's about the evolution of this character. It's about him being stuck in time.
Sure.
But I think it's romantic, and I just love it. I love that movie.
This is the '80s flick too. I think.
Yeah. Mid to late '80s.
What a cool concept, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody thought of that, like, because I mean, obviously, Groundhog Day is a thing.
Harold Ramis? Is it a Harold Ramis movie?
It might be. He may have been attached to that. I'm not sure. I don't have the info in front of me, but obviously Bill Murray. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, dude. He's a treasure.
That's a good word for it. He is a treasure.
I love Bill Murray.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, Justin Winters, was on as a guest, and we did our top five winter movies.
Oh, that's a good
movies
one.
Movies that take place in winter, and he named this one.
Yeah.
So he loves Groundhog Day as well. So I considered it. It didn't end up making my top 10. It would probably fall in my top 15, though.
Okay.
Great. I mean, it's a romantic comedy.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
I did good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did good.
It's funny, and the romance between Murray and McDowell's character is kind of at the center of the whole thing, and he's just trying to get her, trying to win her
over. You know? Because at first, he's just trying to figure out everything he can about her to kind of sleaze her into the bed.
And
it's interesting that
you were kind of battling with, is this a romantic comedy or not? Because that's what's cool about Groundhog Day and movies like that, is that they don't follow that
pattern.
Cliff Notes path of romantic comedy. So it's still a romantic comedy because there's romance and there's comedy in it, but it's not your traditional architecture of a romantic comedy, you know? So I like that. So Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Five.
Oh, thanks, man. I did good.
You feeling good?
I feel good, baby. Feeling good.
So no crossover yet, but I do love that movie. So there you go. Groundhog Day, number five for Andy. My number five is a 90s movie.
Okay.
But it's set in the 80s. All right.
It takes
place in the 80s, but it came out in 1998.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I'd already graduated high school. I was in college at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone listening to the show knows I'm an 80s junkie.
Yeah.
I just love the 80s.
It's got a good feel to it.
And this guy, the star of this movie in the 90s, was in his prime. Every comedy he was in just cracked me up. But it's an Adam Sandler movie, and it's called The Wedding Singer.
The Wedding Singer.
With Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
Absolutely. I also love Drew Barrymore. She's one of my favorite actresses.
And they've been in other movies
and
together.
They have. I don't want to mention, but there was another one that I actually bumped off because I didn't want to have two Adam Sandler movies on my list. Yeah. And people be like, what the hell is Gerald doing?
I think Adam Sandler he didn't start off as like a romantic comedy guy, but he kind of fell into that role.
SNL
he's just so
dude.
Good at it.
He was the SNL dude. He's
and you know,
kind
like
of a slapstick.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are kind of like him being crazy.
And Billy Madison.
Yeah,
right?
But you're right. He's good at that role. He's
Wedding
good.
Singer, man.
He's likable.
I just, you know, Julia Gulia. It was going to be her name when she gets married.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore. And that's kind of an ongoing joke throughout the film. Her fiance, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's kind of like the prick in the movie, you know, that she should not be with. And you want her to be with Adam Sandler's character, who is a wedding singer.
And he gets to sing, which is something he's just so good at.
Right.
Like, he's a good performer.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the fiance dresses like Don Johnson from Miami Vice. You know, he's really over the top, you know, and he drives like a DeLorean from Back to the Future, you know.
Dude, awesome.
So it's a lot of 80s nostalgia and kind of cues built into the movie.
Okay.
It's very funny, man.
Yeah.
You don't know how much I need you while you're near me. I don't feel blue, and when we kiss, I know you need me too. I can't believe I found a love that's so pure and true, but it all was bullshit. It was a goddamn joke. Hope you're glad with what you've done to me.
And, you know, Adam Sandler plays kind of the underdog character.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Barrymore.
Well, he's a wedding singer. I mean,
right,
that's not classic.
Right.
Wedding singer.
Down on his luck. Yeah. He lives in his brother's basement. I mean, you know.
You spin me right around, baby, right around.
Right.
Like a record.
Baby. And, you know, he's trying. And Drew Barrymore's quote out of his league, and he's trying to win her over. they end up connecting as friends, and then they become more. And it's a romantic comedy, and it takes place in the 80s, man. But it was cool because it wasn't an 80s movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it felt 80s because it takes place in the 80s. Now, with that being said, I have two 80s films on my top five.
Yeah.
So they're coming up. I'm going to have some 80s love.
I'm pretty excited.
80s love.
Do I have any? Oh, I have one.
No, I don't know your fucking list.
Do I have one.
So Wedding Singer from 98 is my number five romantic comedy, which swings us over to you, Andy. What's your number four?
Now this, like I said, I haven't seen a lot of romantic comedies. And once again, this is a movie that kind of transcends that genre. And it's actually probably the most recent on my list. I think it's maybe the last couple of years. I want to say it won some awards. It's a movie about insanity. Every character in the movie is insane or crazy in a very specific way. The lead character's father is crazy. His best friends are crazy. And the girl is definitely crazy. And they kind of find each other in that insanity. Mm-hmm. And it's called Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
Have you seen Silver Linings Playbook?
I have. And I saw this pop up on a couple of lists too. But to me, this is a drama.
Yeah, see, that's
now,
the thing.
It does get categorized as a romantic comedy because it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, it's dark. I think they're definitely funny. I love Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. The girl, what's the girl's name? Jennifer? You know the girl.
From Hunger Games. Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
They do such a good job. But I like it because he is in love with this girl, this idea of this girl, and he's kind of gone crazy. And it's about him coming to grips with his, quote, insanity. And it's also about her coming to grips with her insanity and then finding each other through that. They have this dance they're going to do together, and, you know, they're going to help each other out. But then they just kind of find each other. And you're right,
it's a dark comedy.
Funny? I think it's funny.
It has funny parts.
You know, just because it has that level of a dark insanity to it. But I just love the movie. I think it's great. All the characters are wonderful.
I mean, you got De Niro in there.
Yeah, De Niro. And he's always talking about the juju, like talking about crazy characters. Right, his dad's into the juju.
Right.
Like he's always betting on football games, and that comes into it. I think Cowboys Eagles is coming up.
Mm-hmm. And they're huge Eagles
fans. That becomes a symbol for their love. Like, will you bet on the underdog? Because they're the underdogs. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, his best friend is married and having a kid. And so they are, quote, the perfect couple. But, you know, when he sees him, he says, I don't want to tell you, I'm miserable. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Right.
This is driving me crazy. I'm so unhappy. Don't say anything. So it's just about insanity.
Yeah.
And you know, so much of love is insanity. And we're all a little crazy. And so that was my number four. I just love that movie.
I love it too, man. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper were kind of at the foot of the hill where they were starting to rise.
Yes.
And they both blew up after that movie. Jennifer Lawrence had the Hunger Games before that,
mm-hmm.
so she was already kind of on the rise.
Yeah,
but Bradley Cooper was a lot of smaller roles, like the Hangover stuff.
And, yeah, he's just so good.
He was in.
He has that
Wedding Crashers.
He has that likable ingenue type character, also mixed with that. He always plays someone who's slightly crazy.
I know you haven't seen it yet, but A Star Is Born that came out last year. Bro.
Is that a romantic comedy?
No, God, no. It's fucking not a comedy. Yes. It is a tragic love story. Yeah. It's a romance, but it's not a comedy. But
I like darkness, maybe that's why Silver Linings Playbook was funny to me.
Comes out next month on like DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah. I would say check it out. It's definitely one of my favorite. I named it as one of my top five of 2018.
Yeah.
It's got Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And it's a spin on A Star Is Born, which was a movie from the 50s.
Oh, was it?
It's been remade a couple times. It was so good. Bradley Cooper directed for the first time in A Star Is Born.
He was the director of Star. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So he got a really great talent for directing too, but just an awesome talent. And that was when people started to notice him with Silver Linings Playbook. That was 2012.
Okay.
So David O. Russell film.
I want to say Oscar or something.
It did get nominated. I don't know if...
Because it's just a good movie.
I can look.
It's just a good movie.
Let me look up and see if it won. Because I do recall that it got nominated. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence for Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Yeah.
She won that, and then it got nominated for Best Picture. It got nominated for Best Actor for Cooper.
Yeah.
And it got nominated for Best Supporting for De Niro.
The juju.
And
The Jew.
The screenplay. Yeah. The screenplay by David O. Russell got nominated too, but the only winner was Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a great movie. I love that movie.
That's
my number four.
Hey, good.
That's my number four.
You know, when I think of that movie, I think drama because there's a lot of heavy stuff in it about mental illness and stuff.
It is.
But it is considered a dark comedy.
Does that say something about me?
These guys are all fucking crazy, man.
Romantic.
Here's my number four. All right. So mine is a good pick, though, man. I love that movie. So mine is a much lighter tone for my number four. So Wedding Singer, it took place in the 80s, right?
Okay.
My number four is a very zeitgeisty movie. It is a movie that encapsulates the mid-90s.
Okay.
that people still quote this movie. It came out in 1995.
Okay.
It's still a pop culture kind of phenomenon.
Okay.
Ariana Grande recently made a music video where she's spoofing this movie.
Really?
Iggy Azalea did that same thing a few years ago. It's from 1995, Clueless.
Ah, Clueless.
Clueless is my number four.
You're not letting her go out like that, are you?
Cher, get in here.
What's up, Daddy?
What the hell is that?
A dress.
Says who?
Calvin Klein.
It looks like underwear. Go upstairs and put something over it.
Yeah, I was just going to.
Hey, you. Anything happens to my daughter, I got a 45 and a shovel. I doubt anybody would miss you.
Bye, Daddy.
Now is that romantic comedy, though?
In my mind,
see,
it is.
It's hard. I guess I don't understand the genre.
It's okay. I mean, you can...
Because that's a great movie.
You could not call it one, I guess. Yeah. But the romance in the film is between Cher and Paul Rudd's character.
Yeah.
Who, ironically, is her stepbrother. But, right? Yeah. I think. But they end up falling
for
each other.
Well, like a friend of the family.
Yeah, I can't remember. I want to say.
I don't think they went that far, did they?
I don't know. Maybe they never got married. Maybe he was going to be her stepbrother. Yeah. I can't. Okay. I don't know. I can't remember because I haven't seen
him
like 10 years.
He was close. He was living with them.
Right.
But he's not her type because she's in love with the other guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So she's obviously the high school kid. Like today, she would be the version of like on their phone the whole time.
Yeah.
On Instagram, on Twitter.
As
if. You know, as if, you know. And all her friends are like that and really preppy.
Beverly Hills,
and,
maybe.
Yeah. Rich side of the west side of the west coast. But anyway, Paul Rudd's character is just not that. I mean, he's just lounging around. He's a college guy and he's not even close to caring.
Young Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Young Paul Rudd, who looks exactly the same now, by the way.
But, you know, they fall for each other over time. You know, he's helping her father with a law case and they become close during that. And he kind of mentors her in a kind of a way.
Yeah.
And she kind of starts to see what's really important, which is not necessarily fashion and whatever. And they just come together before the end of the movie. And it is a love that kind of blossoms there. And then there's some other romance going on in the movie, too, with some minor characters in the film. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny, man. And like I said, it's such a phenom.
It's a cult classic.
Exactly.
It's a cult classic.
It has become a cult classic.
Yeah.
And I love Clueless, man. So when I saw that would fit into the category, I'm like, well, I got to put it on there.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So, you know, I don't know if we would ever do a list that would be like top five. You know, game changers or something
game
like that.
Game changers.
But I feel like Clueless would be that too because it, like I said, it stuck forever.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's coming up on its 25th anniversary. So I love Clueless, man. It's my number four.
Number four.
You like Clueless. You've seen
that's
that
a good,
one.
Good. It almost reminds me in my mind of Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
So around the same time, but also that kind of game changing cult classic that just shifts the way movies can be told. And, you know, I mean, it's just,
it was just fun, man. It was fun.
Fun movie.
It was fun.
That's a great movie.
All right, man. So that's my number four.
Number four.
Which takes us around to you for your number three, man.
Okay, my number three, this is the one I'm sure is a romantic comedy. It fits into the genre more than any of my movies. This is just, now it's kind of a guilty pleasure. I just love this movie. I don't even know why I love this movie, but the movie is Serendipity. Has
is that Cusack?
John Cusack, Kate Beckinsale. Beckinsette. How you say your last name?
I would have to actually look
Kate
it up
Beckinsette.
To make sure that's right.
But them two in the movie.
It's Kate Beckinsale. Right?
Yeah. Now, the movie is named Serendipity. It's about Serendipity. Jeremy Piven is in it as well.
Oh, I love him. Did you ever watch...
No, I didn't. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, but he's...
Oh, God, he's so good.
Jeremy Piven's wonderful. But it's a movie about...
It is Kate Beckinsale.
Beckinsale. So it's a movie about Serendipity. These two characters... who are not, you know, they kind of stumble into each other and they spend this day together. I think they're both kind of involved in other relationships, but they spend this day together and they don't know why, but they're just drawn to each other. So they decide, let's let fate decide. Mm-hmm. She's really into fate. He's not. And she says, okay, I'm going to write my name in this book and my number in this book. I'm going to sell this book to this online bookstore. They don't have online bookstores back then. To this New York kind of side bookstore. And if you stumble upon that, find me. And he's like, how can we be sure? Because, okay, well, let's go up this elevator. We'll go to these two different elevators. You pick a floor, I pick a floor. If we end up on the same floor, you know, then that's great. And they don't through happenstance. But years later, he is engaged to get married. She's in this relationship. And his fiance, for the wedding gift, gives him that book.
Yikes.
Now, here's the reason she gives him that book. Because every time she sees him in a bookstore, he picks up that book.
Yikes.
Because he's looking for that number.
Hell yeah, dude.
And that just sends him back on this quest to find her. And they just... Wow. It's just a great movie. It's very serendipitous.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a minute. It's just cool, man.
It's definitely good. A romantic comedy.
John Cusack.
Definitely.
John Cusack.
My man John.
Can't go wrong, man.
My man John.
I looked it up. That came out in 2001.
Yes.
So maybe there were online bookstores at that point.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I'm old.
eBay. Amazon probably wasn't.
But Serendipity is my classic. That's my, and it falls right in the middle of my list, number three. And it's my classic rom-com choice. It's my guilty pleasure. I just love that movie.
That's good.
I love that movie.
So we were talking earlier about kids' names and stuff, right? So my number three is a direct reflection on my daughter's name.
Madison.
That's right.
Interesting.
Can you guess based on that? That's what I named. She was named from this movie.
Billy Madison? Another Adam Sandler flick?
Yes.
The guy who hit the golf ball?
No. Splash from 1984. The Mermaid in Splash.
I've never seen Mermaid Splash.
Really?
I've never seen Splash.
All right, well, it's a Tom Hanks film.
Okay.
Love him. Daryl Hannah portrays basically a mermaid who gets stuck in New York City.
A mermaid in New York City!
And the scientists get a hold of her, of course. You know, of course. It's like that classic recipe, like, we got a real-life mermaid here, let's stick her in a tank. And, you know, experiments, you know. Yeah. And then Tom Hanks, you know, wants to save her and wants to free her. And if they fall in, it's kind of like the classic tale where, you know, like if you kiss, the princess wakes up.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of. Okay. So it's the same formula, but if they fall in love, she'll become human or full human. And she'll shred her mermaid.
Do they both know that?
No, we know it. The audience kind of gets it.
Okay.
But they just love each. They just fall in love with each other.
Oh.
And then when it happens, she's full human. Oh, spoiler alert from a 1984 film.
Oh, man. Like, I was going to go watch it, but now I don't have to.
But anyway, he named her Madison because he found her on Madison Avenue in New York City.
He found her? Was she like...
Yeah, she was like wandering around the city, yeah.
And with feet? With feet?
Yeah, well, there was a period in the movie where she could... I can't remember the details, but I want to say like at night.
Okay.
At daytime, I'm sorry, she would turn into a human or lose her... What do you call it?
Fins?
I want to be PC. What do you call the mermaid? I don't want to offend any mermaids.
The tail, whatever.
So he found her kind of wandering around the streets naked or whatever.
Oh, goodness. And, he's like, this girl.
Which is a score for a Monday morning, you know what I mean? But anyway, Daryl Hannah portrays Madison, the Daryl mermaid Hannah's in the film.
Wonderful.
And it was one of my favorite 80s movies. I love Tom Hanks, man.
Yeah, Tom Hanks is.
Oh, God. We were just talking about this on another episode.
An American treasure.
We named Saving Private Ryan on a different episode, and we were talking about Tom Hanks. And he's just so good, man. I can't remember a Tom Hanks role that I haven't enjoyed him in. Even if the movie was shit, I haven't just enjoyed, but
just fallen in love with.
Love it, dude.
Tom Hanks is so good.
He's going to be portraying Mr. Rogers this year in a movie about Mr. Rogers.
Joe versus the Volcano. Even that was good.
Right. Another romantic comedy, by the way.
Is that a rom-com?
Yeah. I mean, he's awesome, man. So I didn't want to put a shit ton of Tom Hanks movies on my list, obviously.
You could have.
So I chose Splash.
Sweetness in Seattle, You've Got Mail. I mean, come on.
Yep.
So, which I haven't which seen I either one,
say.
By the
I was
way.
Gonna say, I was gonna say, I didn't want to name them because I didn't know.
I just know them.
Those are super popular ones. Yeah. You've Got Mail is one that my wife named.
Yeah.
She was like, that would be
I
one
think
of
maybe
mine.
I've seen it. He runs like a bookstore. She runs like
That's
a
right.
bookstore.
Yeah, they Meg Ryan.
Mail each other. Yeah. You've Got Mail.
That's right. So Splash is my number three. I can't believe you haven't seen Splash, man. It's an 80s Splash. Classic.
I haven't seen any of these.
It's an 80s classic. It's naked mermaids wandering around the street, brother. Get on that.
Okay. Let me see what I can do. Can we stop the episode now?
And Tom Hanks. You got to see what you got. You know, I don't think you're going to name this one.
Okay.
Maybe I'll wait in case you
don't. I got two left.
Do you have any Tom Hanks films on your list?
No.
Okay. So you won't name this one. So I was doing research, and when I decided to land on Splash, there was literally like five Tom Hanks rom-coms that I wanted to put on here.
Really?
And one of them was Big. And
Big!
Which I love that movie.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
You know
is that his first really big movie?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Pun intended. I was going to put it on here because I love Big, and it's a little more popular.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a
movie. But I was like, I'm not going to do that because it's like literally a 12-year-old boy having a love affair with a 40-year-old woman. You know what I mean?
Which is every 12-year-old boy's dream, though. I mean, because as a man, you can say that.
So I'm like, yeah, I'll stick away. I'll go with the mermaid sex instead. That makes more sense.
Nice.
Shape of Water. That was popular last year, so why not? So, sorry. Got off. But I thought of Big. I thought of The Money Pit. I thought of, you already mentioned, You've Got Mail. Like, there's so many.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom Hanks can do everything, man. I mean, we said Saving Private Ryan.
Everything.
He's won Academy Awards for Forrest Gump.
Castaway. He's the only one who could have done a movie with no dialogue and no sound, except for the sound of the ocean. And he made made that good. He made that good.
We could have done Castaway as a rom-com, the romance between him and Wilson.
Okay. No,
that made me cry, bro.
You cried.
Oh, I fucking cried. Wilson, bro.
Yes.
I mean, Tom Hanks.
Wilson.
Can make the audience cry from over losing a volleyball.
That's amazing. Because he goes, you see him trying to get it, but he can't.
You want to do top five Tom Hanks movies at some point?
We should do that.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Or top five Tom Hanks characters or something like that. We got to, man. Anyway, what are we doing?
Rom-coms?
Where are
number
we?
Two. I'm on number
You're on
two.
Your number two. All right, what's your runner-up?
Okay, number two. I have watched this movie so many times. It's one of my mother's favorite movies. I watched it growing up over and over and over again. So I guess it almost has become the model for, I guess, what a romantic comedy is. This movie, I want to say mid-80s, Julia Roberts and Richard Gere and Pretty Woman.
It's actually 1990.
Pretty Woman was my jam. I loved the soundtrack. You know, you have this beautiful prostitute. You can tell she's just kind of started. She's not really a prostitute yet, but finds this, you know, rich guy, Richard Gere, who's in this career and he's not really happy, but he's doing what he's doing. And he, you know, hires her to be his, you know, beck and call girl for a week, and they fall in love. I mean, it's nothing out of the ordinary. Maybe it is a bit out of the ordinary, but it's just a great feel-good movie. Every element of what a romantic movie should be is in there, and it's just wonderful.
I love Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, walking down the street, Pretty Woman, the girl I've got to be.
Pretty Woman is my number six. It's
really?
My first one of my honorable mentions.
Hey, yep. Dude, this is kind of a crossover-ish.
It just missed my list, but I love this movie. Yes. This was, the number one reason is because this really introduced the world of Julia Roberts.
Yes.
And she is a rom-com queen, brother. Her and Sandra Bullock, I guess.
Rom-com queen.
But, I mean, if you're making a romantic comedy, I would imagine her phone's ringing first.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And whether she accepts or not, you know.
My mother's favorite romantic comedy of all time, I think, is Notting Hill.
Yeah.
With her
and Julia Roberts, absolutely. Yeah. And she's just such a girl next door, right? Especially back then when she was just getting started. Mystic Pizza came out a few years before this, and that was her first like big role.
Mystic Pizza?
That was the name of the movie,
okay.
And I want to say that was 87 or 88, but Pretty Woman is really when, that was 1990 by the way. But that was really when, like, Hello World, I'm Julia Roberts.
Yes.
And she turned into
And she the is just A-list wonderful actress. In that movie. She is just wonderful.
Love it, man. It's, you know, you said, it really is kind of a unique story because it's cool because it's like a generic romantic comedy.
It is.
Archetype.
It's very generic.
But it's a very different elements from where the folks come from.
Yes.
Because she's obviously a prostitute.
Yeah.
So
trying to make ends meet, you know, and he's like this, you know. But also, she changes him and he changes her.
Right.
You know, she says, well, what do you build? Well, I don't build things. I buy companies. I deconstruct myself the parts. But then he comes to this one point where he's talking to his, you know, Costanza. George Costanza, his lawyer.
Alexander,
he's taking these glasses and stacking them. And he's like, you know what? I want to build things.
Yeah.
And he convinces her that she's somebody. That she's somebody important. More important than just, you know, this girl on the street. Of course, the classic lines are, I got to run in my pantyhose. I'm not wearing pantyhose. There's a love scene here for two.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's a good flick, dude. I haven't seen that one in a while. And you mentioned the soundtrack. Well. Soundtrack's awesome.
Yeah. Part of it's because my mother and my father, we had it on VHS, and I used to watch with them all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, it takes me back.
It's good, dude. And especially in 1990, well, I was 15, so I wasn't super young.
Oh,
but, I mean, it was, I want to say it was rated R. And I think it was because she was a prostitute and because of the language.
Streetwalker.
And that kind of stuff. So seeing it as a young teenager, you felt like you were kind of seeing something you weren't supposed to see. So even though it was a rom-com, it also felt a little dirty.
Welcome.
Right?
Yeah.
But it was really good, man.
What's your dream?
It's still to this day probably the best I've ever enjoyed Richard Gere. I'm not a huge fan of his, to be honest.
It's just so good. And he's so good at that character, that kind of
millionaire kind of, like, you know.
But he's a very enigmatic. Mm-hmm. Just kind of off. Didn't have to say much, just kind of stands there.
Yeah. Pretty Woman's good, man. So that's your number
two. That's my number two.
And it would have been my number six. It's right off
Pretty Woman.
Right off the cliff of my list.
What's
there.
Your dream?
Hey, you know a song I love on that soundtrack?
Yeah.
King of Wishful Thinking.
Ah, that's a
good tune, brother. Yeah. Whenever I hear that from Go West.
Down the dark of the town.
That is so good,
so
man.
Maybe I can put myself.
All right. So my number two, right? Okay. All right. So my number two is the most recent film on my list.
Oh, is it?
Came out in 2005.
Okay.
And I have a... I changed my list up because what I realized is I had four movies in my top 10 from Judd Apatow. Apatow is the director, the producer.
Okay.
And he has a very type of romantic comedy where it's a romantic comedy, but it's filled with dick jokes and it's very vulgar. And you'll know what I mean when I name this one.
Okay.
Which is really what kind of got him started as that type of director. But it's The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay. All right. I've never seen The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Man, that's one I'll let you borrow.
See, I'm not a big fan of his movies. And I'm not a big fan of, what's his name? The main
Steve
character.
Carell?
I'm not a big Steve Carell fan.
Really?
He just doesn't do it for me.
Well, Steve Carell is the lead here, plays Andy, by the way. His name's Andy in the film.
Hey, cool.
But he's after Trish, and Trish runs, you know, Andy works at what would be considered like a Best Buy.
Yeah.
You know, like a big electronics store. But he's a dork, and he's a 40-year-old virgin, as the movie, you know, says. So he's single, he's kind of a loser, plays video games. Like, he's Andy.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, just like me. Okay.
Just kidding, he's not you. So Trish is this girl that opens up a small business, and she, I want to say she's divorced. She's his age.
Okay.
Obviously not a virgin though, but she's been around. She's got a kid, a couple kids, I want to say.
Oh,
but anyway, nice. They, you know, he just ends up kind of awkwardly flirting with her, and he gets advice from his coworkers, you know, you need to hit that, you know, and stuff. And of course they don't know he's a virgin.
Just ask questions. Okay. That's it. Because women do not care about what you have to say at all anyway, you know, and all they want to do is talk about themselves. So you're just going to let them do that. Okay. So remember, questions, be cool, and be kind of a dick. You know, here, be David Caruso in Jade.
Okay. I know exactly what you're talking
about.
You
do. That's good. Oh, there she is. Go plant that seed, man. Plant it with your finger.
Can I help you?
I don't know. Can you?
Are you looking for something?
Is there something I should be looking for?
Oh, we have a lot of books, so maybe it depends on what you like.
What do you like?
We have a great section of do-it-yourself.
Do you like to do it yourself?
Sometimes. I mean, if the mood strikes.
How is the mood striking you now?
What's your name?
What's your name?
I'm Beth.
Andy.
Don't tell on me, okay, Andy?
I won't. Unless you want to be told on. Beth.
Wow, that totally worked. I literally said nothing as she found me fascinating.
I would have thought you were doing that for years.
Oh, should I have asked her out?
No, that's the key. You wait for it to grow into a plant, and then you fuck the plant.
So the whole thing is him kind of trying to keep his secret so he's not embarrassed.
Okay.
But at the same time, he's trying to win her over.
Okay.
So he's very out of his element here. You know, because he's 40 years old trying to get a date. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his coworkers are trying to help him. And it's very funny. And I love Judd Apatow's type of... Oh, we get introduced to Seth Rogen in this film.
This is one
of his first roles. And he is fucking hilarious in
Seth
this
Rogen's
movie.
Seth Rogen's great.
There's one scene in the movie, not safe for work, just going to tell everyone, there's going to be some bad language here. But there's a scene in the movie where he comes into work because he works with Andy at this place. And it comes in, he goes, hey, man, how was your weekend? You know, and Andy, of course, being the 40-year-old virgin, is like, oh, it was crazy, man. Like, I was going to make some egg salad sandwiches, and I realized I didn't have any relish. So I had to go to the grocery store, I had to get relish, you know, all this shit. And then Seth Rogen's like, cool, man, cool. And he's like, what did you do this weekend? He's like, well, you know, I went to this thing and it was advertised as a woman fucking a horse. And I got there and it was a woman fucking a horse. It was a crazy weekend, you know? It's like so different, you know?
Yeah.
But Seth Rogen's hilarious, isn't it, man? I would say check it out. Of any of Judd Apatow's movies, I would say check out 40 Year Old.
And what are other of his movies? What am I?
Well, I got one of my honorable mentions that you may have seen called Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
No.
Did you see that one?
No.
He did that one. He did Knocked Up.
Okay.
Did you see Knocked Up? No. Okay, so he
I know
Funny
of these,
People. He did
know,
Funny People.
I know of these movies, but like I said,
well, these would all be considered rom-coms. You know, what he did, what Judd Apatow started doing really with The 40-Year-Old Virgin is he took the classic romantic comedy archetype and he inserted like the vulgar kind of like millennial humor, like dick jokes type thing, you know, and he inserted that to make it like an R rating, like just for adults. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's weird because, like, I'm not a big fan of those movies, but the American Pie trilogy, which is
that kind of
almost one of the inaugural trilogies of that type, is one of my favorite trilogies. I just love it.
Thank you for mentioning that, because that's exactly what I was going for. Yeah. Like, it's very American Pie-ish.
Yes, and I think American Pie set the tone for a lot of those.
Right, right.
But I just love it. I love it. It's weird, though, but I'm not a big fan.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't think you've seen, with the exception of, have you seen Wedding Singer?
No.
So on my list, you've only seen Clueless.
Yeah, I'm Clueless.
We got to talk to you.
I'm Clueless, except for Clueless.
Which is ironic.
I'm Clueless, except for Clueless.
We got to talk to you, brother. Yeah. We got to get you some movies.
Yes, I guess you do.
I'm going to send you home with some. All right, so that's my number two, The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Nice.
What's your number one romantic comedy?
This is my number one romantic comedy. Now, I didn't even consider this at first. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I watch it at the same time every year, so I consider it in different genres. But it's a movie. First of all, it's hilarious, so it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie about love, so it's a romantic comedy. I'm going to put it on the thing, but I also consider it a Christmas movie. I watch it every Christmas, and the name of the movie, one of my wife and I's favorite movies, if you took our favorite movies together and said, what's our favorite movie, this is it: Love Actually.
Okay, I was wondering
Love Actually is a movie about love. It starts from the very beginning. Love Actually is all around, and it follows these different storylines, these different romantic storylines of people meeting each other. You have the young man who just wants to have a bunch of sex, and he ends up in America and has a bunch of sex. You have the couple who meets as stand-ins on a set, sex stand-ins, who are just very, very shy and end up together. So that plays off each other. You have all these different storylines. You have the prime minister, played by one of the king of
Colin
romantic
Firth.
Comedies. No, the king of romantic comedies. The English guy. We love him.
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant, mm-hmm. And falls in love with his, one of the ladies working for him.
So that one's got Hugh Grant, Colin Firth, and Liam Neeson in that movie.
Yeah, Colin Firth falls in love with someone he can't even speak the same language. He goes off to write a book in like Portugal or Spain or something, and the girl who's working with them, they have all these conversations without understanding each other.
Yeah.
So you have all these different storylines, but it's all about how many different versions of love there are. You have the one girl who loves her brother, whose brother's slightly insane, who you think is ruining her life, but they just... Like, he loves her.
And you watch,
she loves him.
And you watch this at Christmas every year?
I watch it every Christmas because it takes place.
Yeah.
It's a countdown to Christmas. 5 weeks till Christmas. 4 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks.
It's a good Christmas.
But it's just, it illustrates perfectly what love is.
I'm surprised it's your number one, though.
Yeah, it's my number one. I love this movie.
It doesn't strike me as an Andy flick.
Yeah, I love this movie.
It's a good flick, though.
And I have, on my honorable mentions, I have another one of this guy, the director, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day. He did all that. He does all these kind of movies. I forgot the name of the guy.
Well, you know what's cool about Love Actually?
One of my honorable mentions is so beyond and so specific that I just couldn't put it as a romantic comedy, but it's also one of my favorite movies.
Well, what's cool about Love Actually, and I can't off the top of my head think of other movies that have done it, but there have been. But it's cool because they have different stories going on within the movie and then they connect.
Yes.
You know, which is cool.
Like, this person knows this person.
Yeah, when you're watching it for the first time, you're trying to figure out like how they connect, and it's cool when you find out, you know?
And like the guy who plays the old ex-heroin addict rock star singer, also a very famous actor. It turns out that he loves, not romantically, but he loves his manager, his fat Scottish manager.
We all need a fat Scottish manager in my life, am I right?
Yeah, well, this is odd. But I just think, maybe he's Irish, I'm not sure. But I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful
I haven't
movie.
Seen it in a few years,
it's
man.
It's so good.
I want to say my wife's a fan of this movie.
I love
though. It. And I do like watching it at Christmas time. I do like watching it at Christmas
time. I love it. So Love Actually is my number one romantic comedy.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
So listen, man, I'm going to get a little flack probably for naming this as a romantic comedy, but I don't care, man.
You don't care.
This movie.
You don't care.
The heart, let me just tell you.
Okay.
Before I set the stage. Now this one, I will say I'm 99.99999% positive you've seen this. Okay. I feel like everybody that was born from the 80s to today has seen this.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen this, we need to talk, brother.
Okay, okay.
All right, so
conversation.
Now, the heart of I'm gonna try to sell my case here.
Okay.
The heart of this movie is romance.
Okay.
The heart of this movie is love.
Okay.
Everything that happens in this film, from the first frame to the credits, is because of this gentleman's love for a specific female in the movie. Everything. So the movie I'm gonna name, and it's funny. So when you talk about the comedy piece,
now here's the thing.
It is hilarious.
Here's the thing. I think I know what you're talking about, and the movie is so damn good that I didn't put it on the list because I couldn't.
That's fine.
I couldn't say it was a romantic comedy.
Let me say it.
I couldn't do it.
Let me say it.
I couldn't do it.
knew it.
Let me say it, then we'll talk about it. Assuming you've seen it, which I from 1987, The Princess Bride.
The Princess Bride.
All right.
See, I almost consider that like a mythological movie or a fairy tale.
And that's what's beautiful.
But you're right.
About
it's one of the best movies of all time.
That's what's beautiful about it. It's
you're right. It's about
It's a Rob Reiner film.
And it's about love.
We just did our cinematic romances.
Yeah.
Wesley and Buttercup is one of my favorite cinematic romances ever. Of all time.
And it's true love.
True love, absolutely.
And it's the archetype of true love. It's not just true love. They don't hide it under anything. It's this. He says it to her. This is true love.
So that's the romance, obviously, Wesley and Buttercup. Yeah. And then the comedy, man. Oh. I mean, this movie's hilarious. You got Andre the Giant, Vincini.
Inconceivable.
Yeah.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Portrayed by Wallace Shawn is just an iconic comedic character. Our friends Nick from the Epic Film Guys were telling me that they actually used the Vincini character in a very popular video game today. Mm. And you have to do the same thing where you pick which cup to drink out of. And I mean, it's just going to live on forever, dude.
Yeah.
And Andre the Giant, rest in peace. Oh, awesome in this movie. Mandy Patinkin, who played
Mandy Patinkin.
The sword fighting is tremendous.
Hello.
Billy Crystal.
My name as is Inigo Montoya.
Billy Crystal's in there.
Oh, yes. Fun storming the castle.
Just such a good movie, man.
Yeah.
And
you're right. There's nothing better than true love, except for a nice MLT. Mutton, lettuce, and tomato where the mutton is nice and lean. I love that. Mutton, lettuce, and tomato.
So, you know, the rewatchability on this is 100%, brother.
I showed it to my wife and my kids. My wife and my kids for the first time this past summer.
Oh, that had to be amazing. That had to be amazing.
They loved it.
True love. You heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Yes, honey. True love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, a mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomato is ripe. It's so perky. I love that. But that's not what he said. He distinctly said to blave. And as we all know, to blave means to bluff. Huh? So you're probably playing cards and he cheated.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
You never had it so good.
True love. He said true love, Max.
Don't say another word, Valerie.
He's afraid. Ever since Vince Humperdinck fired him, his confidence is shattered.
Why'd you say that name? You promised me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck? Humperdinck!
Stiegen!
Humperdinck!
I'm not
Humperdinck.
Listening!
True love lies expiring, and you don't have the decency to say why you won't help!
Nobody's hearing nothing!
Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
This is Buttercup's true love. Humperdinck. If you heal him, he will stop Humperdinck's wedding. Shut up!
Wait. I make him better, Humperdinck suffers?
Humiliations galore.
I did a lick, Daldanation. That is a noble cause. Give me the 65. I'm on the job.
I can remember. I can't wait till my son can like sit in front of this and enjoy.
Well
it.
Done. Well done. If there was a winner of the countdown, you won. So that's a good.
You know, I mean, nobody's gonna say romantic comedy Princess Bride. You know what I mean? Like that's not. And that's what's cool about this movie is it's not pigeonholed to one category. No. It's an adventure. It's a fantasy. It's a comedy. It's a romance. It's action. It's so many things. It's dramatic.
You sound like the grandfather selling it to his grandson.
Right, right. You know, it's so many things.
Pirates, and life, death, torture, true love.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get that. I understand that it's multi-genre.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
And there's a romance at the core of the entire story.
Period.
It's a true love story.
Well done.
And I love it, man. So it's in my top 10 of all time, The Princess Bride.
I think one of the reasons I had so much trouble creating this list is because I was thinking of like, you know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, She's All That, Say Anything. All
these movies the traditional
like
classic.
You've Got Mail. All these movies I've never seen before.
Right.
But, you know, that's a great movie.
Right.
Man.
So what I tried to do is, you know, when I did my list, and most of them, with the exception of Princess Bride and maybe Clueless, would be like, that would be their primary category, would be romantic comedy. But what I tried to do is there romance, and did I laugh during it?
Yeah.
I think it was funny.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. So my five, you know, I thought were hilarious, and also the romance touched me. So there you go. So Princess Bride's my number one. Do you want to do a quick recap? Are you going to remember it?
I don't know.
What was your five?
Here we go. Number five is Groundhog Day. Number four is Silver Linings Playbook. Number three is Serendipity. Number two is Pretty Woman. And number one is Love Actually.
By the way, I marvel at your memory. How do you remember those?
Can I give an honorable mention to?
We're not there yet. I'm giving my wrap up real quick. But yes, I am going
to
let you do
it. You need to chill out.
My top five were number five, The Wedding Singer. Number four, Clueless. Number three was Splash. Number two was The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And number one, The Princess Bride.
Yes.
All right. So now, let's do some honorable mentions. I only have before
one.
We head
this
over.
This is my
to
main
Twitter.
Honorable mention. This is one of my also one of my favorite movies by the either director or producer of Love Actually. It's a movie called About Time. Have you seen About Time?
I don't think so. What's the
oh,
premise?
it's just wonderful. Now it's about. See, the thing is, like Groundhog Day, even more so. It's about the evolution of one character. It's about this man. He's played by. Oh, I wish I could think of his name. In Star Wars: The Last Jedi, he plays the redheaded headed leader of the First Order, kind of the second in command below Snoke and
You're talking about
that guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So it's him, and it's also another girl. I can't think of her name, but it has a lot of those different characters in it.
About time.
It's about this son, and his dad calls him into the room when he's about 18 years old and says, you know, there's a secret I need to tell you. All the men in our family, you know, it's passed down from generation to generation, can travel through time. You go into a closet, into a dark room. It has to be completely dark. And you take your palms and your hands, you squeeze them together, and you think about where you want to go, and you'll go there. So he shows his son that he can travel through time. Now, in doing this, the son meets this girl, falls in love with her, and tries to organize time so that he can have her, and finds out that he can't really do that. He can only get her by, you know, loving her. So falls in love. That's one of the main storylines. But the reason it doesn't fall into necessarily romance, because it's really about him coming to grips with who he is, about what time means. The moral of the story is at the end.
Doesn't sound familiar.
At the end, he figures out that his dad tells him this thing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go through every day twice. Go through the day. At the end of the day, go back through the day, and you'll start to learn how precious life really is.
Hey, teach yourself, brother.
So, but romance. No, that's 2008, 2010.
Okay. I don't know why.
Maybe even 2012.
Maybe if I look it up, I'll be like, oh,
About time. It's really great. So that's my honorable mention.
Cool, man. And then,
very honorable, this mention.
It was. That's why you only had one. It was so honorable.
It's very, very honorable.
Andy only did one honorable mention this week, guys, because he doesn't see a lot of romantic comedies.
I don't.
And he found that out.
I probably could
he was
think of some others,
online.
Maybe.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
We didn't mention it. We didn't mention a Sandra Bullock film. And you said when Michael was
over. But here's the thing. I have another honorable mention. Every single movie that Hugh Grant's ever been in.
That's true. All of them. Nine Months. 9 Months is good because of Jeff Goldblum.
Now,
he's fucking awesome in 9 Months.
Really?
He plays his best friend. You never seen 9 Months either?
No. The last one I saw was Sandra Bullock.
Dude,
and him,
Tom Arnold's
in
it.
2 weeks notice.
Oh yeah, 2 weeks notice. Yeah.
But I think Hugh Grant is my romantic comedy guy. Yeah, like everything he's in, I just love.
Yeah, he is. And he also likes masturbating in alleyways.
He loves it.
He got in trouble for that about 10 years ago.
It happens.
All right, it happens, man.
He was with a girl.
It's Hugh Grant. Do what you do, Pee Wee Herman. Do what you do. It's okay. All right, so my honorable mentions would round out my top 10. I'll just list them real quick. My number 6 would have been Pretty Woman.
Okay, nice.
My number 7 would have been a film that was Oscar winner, by the way, comedies in general, and particularly romantic comedies, don't really win Oscars, but this was a great film called As Good As It Gets.
Oh!
Starring Jack
Nicholson. That's a great movie.
From 1997.
That's a wonderful movie. Maybe this is As Good As It Gets.
My number 8 would have been Crazy Stupid Love with Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell from 2011. There's Something About Mary would have been... You never saw that one either?
I saw bits of it. I'm not a big Ben Stiller fan. So.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
That would have been my number 9 from 98. And then my number 10, which I mentioned earlier, would have been Forgetting Sarah Marshall from 2008. Jason Segel, another Judd
another good
film.
Kind of a
Paul
as,
Rudd's in that one
as good
well.
As it gets type movie. Also stars Jack Nicholson. It's Something's Got to Give.
That's with Diane Lane.
I like that movie.
That's a good
well.
One. So to wrap us up here, Andy, we're gonna head over to Twitter. We got some good.
Oh, we're going to Twitter.
We're doing the suggestion box. You want to open it? Did you put WD-40 on it? We don't even need a sound bite. We just have you do that every week.
That's cool.
Please keep doing that.
No problem.
That saves me the time of editing, going online and finding.
But that wasn't me. You're breaking the magic. Bite. That was a real box.
What I want to do though is I want to do a sound bite like that, and then have from 7 have Brad Pitt going, "What's in the box?" And I just haven't had time to put that together.
That was on my honorable mentions, by the way.
7. Oh, fucking touch me really hard, man.
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
All right. So let's go over to Twitter. MDX Pods over on Twitter. Now, I cannot believe we did not mention this, but I am more surprised, or I'm sorry, I'm less surprised because you probably haven't seen it.
It happens. I don't watch
but
movies.
This one got a lot of love. This would probably be like on the top of like the IMDb list. Yeah. Or if you were Googling, you'll probably see this in the top 5 all the time.
Googling.
So I want to say it was 1989, I believe, but When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally. Never seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I didn't
know
name,
of it because people talk about it.
Of course, it's a very pop culture. It's very
Meg
popular.
Ryan.
It's the romantic comedy from the 80s. But I didn't name it because I haven't seen it since then. Like, you know what I mean? I know about it. You know, like that I'll have what she's having when she acts like she's having the orgasm. Yeah. You know, like I know all that stuff in pop culture, but I just haven't seen the movie in like 20 years. So yeah. I didn't want to be.
Apparently it's pretty good. We should watch it together.
It's good. I understand popcorn, that. And, you know, if I watched Kool-Aid. It again and got refamiliarized with it, it would probably make my top 10. MD X-Pod said When Harry Met Sally. And so did Get to the Movies. They also said
Get
When Harry Met Sally.
Get to the Movies.
Now, here's some good ones that we didn't mention. And one that you actually, or two that you mentioned that weren't on your list. Odd Dad Out over on Twitter said, Pretty Woman.
Ah, Pretty Woman.
Fools Rush In.
Fools Rush In with Matthew Perry. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hitch. Remember Hitch?
With that was
Will
pretty
Smith.
Good. That was pretty good. I like Will Smith and Kevin James.
Will Smith tried to teach Kevin James how to get women.
Nice.
That was pretty good. 10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah. And You've Got Mail would have been
his
number one.
You've Got Mail. Super Sense Seattle Part 2.
Now, I do want to give a shout out to the After Movie Dinner podcast because they had some good ones on here, and they had one, or they had two actually that we haven't mentioned that we fucking should have.
We were crazy.
When Harry Met Sally, The Princess Bride, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day!
And then two that we didn't mention that are John Cusack classics, Say Anything and High Fidelity.
Never seen either one of those.
Roxanne, she also said.
Roxanne!
It's always sad. It's always sad because Roxanne gets overlooked for some reason, but it's a great romantic comedy.
Yes.
Steve Martin.
Yes, with the
nose. Daryl Hammond's now as well.
Dvorak. It's a classic tale on Sergio Dvorak.
Is it?
I sound like I'm drunk.
Wow, I didn't know that. What did you hit in there, brother?
Yeah.
All right. The Unlucky Ones over on Twitter. Thank you. They give us constant feedback and we really appreciate it.
That's nice of you.
13 going on 30. That's another one that's similar to Big, which was really good, but it was Jennifer Garner as a 13-year-old girl, so it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
Interesting.
You know, she goes into an adult body.
Interesting.
Have you ever seen 13 going on 30?
No, I have not.
It's basically the story of Big, but it's with a girl.
Wow.
So, but it's a good film. But it's just a little weird to be like, yeah, that's my favorite romantic comedy. She's 13. Notting Hill, he says. Notting Hill. I believe you mentioned. My Best Friend's Wedding, another Julia Roberts classic.
Not only Julia Roberts, like, but is that, no, Runaway Bride is the reunion.
That's Julia Roberts too, yeah.
And then Richard Gere. That's the reunion.
That's right. That's the reunion. Yeah. Serendipity, they said.
Serendipitous.
And The Vow, which I believe was Channing Tatum, if I'm not mistaken.
Channing.
But
who
the
doesn't
Vow.
Like Channing?
Top Five Pod said High Fidelity.
Channing Tatum, yeah. And the girl
I don't remember.
Loses her memory or something.
Yeah, yes. And he has to like remind her why they filmed it. Top Five Pod said High Fidelity, Annie Hall, The Wedding Singer, and 500 Days of Summer.
Annie Hall. People love Annie Hall.
It's a good one. It's a Woody Allen flick. And then the last one I'll mention today over on Twitter. H.A. Simpson, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Well, did you figure out how to do it?
No, my wife's still trying to figure it out. 10 Things I Hate About You. She's definitely figured that out. She has 100.
Your wife's working on How to Lose a Guy in 10 Years. She still can't get it.
And then Pretty in Pink, which is a callback. I love that movie,
16 Candles, Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, dude.
My wife would probably say one of those movies.
If we were doing 80s specific, I probably would have had Pretty in Pink on my list.
Yeah, you're pretty in pink.
And 80s soundtracks, too.
Gerald's wearing pink today.
Pretty in Pink is a great soundtrack. So we've already decided for our next topic, Andy. Now, this one's going to kind of go in. I wanted to release rom-coms in February. So I want to do this for February. So we're kind of skipping a month. But our next topic is going to kind of go with what we did last month. Because, last month we did top five superhero films.
Did we? I don't remember.
We did top five superhero films with our friend Michael.
Michael!
And that was a lot of fun. We got a lot of downloads on the episode. People had a lot of comments on Twitter, specifically from Michael.
Black Panther is Michael's favorite romantic comedy.
Is it? Is his favorite rom-com as well?
Yeah.
Wow. And we're going to go, which, not to be funny, but actually Black Panther might get mentioned in this discussion, but we're going to go to our top five movie villains.
I've been thinking about this, and I had a good time thinking about
that one.
Right? I like villains.
That'll be our March topic.
I told Gerald that he's the villain of my life.
I appreciate that.
He's the villain.
I appreciate that. I'm gonna turn to you, and we're gonna take over the world.
Pinky and the Brain.
I'm gonna be like,
what are we gonna do today, Brain?
I'm gonna be like Kylo trying to turn Rey, brother.
There you go. Just join me.
Now, is it bad? I asked this the other day to a Star Wars fanatic at my work. Is it bad that during The Last Jedi, I'm literally sitting there at that moment when they have the big battle with
at the end.
Snoke, you know, in the room.
And they're fighting off all the guards.
Yeah. And there's, you can see the internal battle that Rey's kind of having. Do I go with Kylo?
Yeah.
Or do I stay,
And he does a good job because he says,
and he's like, come with me.
He goes, you saw your parents. You're nothing in this. you mean nothing to the story. Right. Now he's actually saying what the audience is thinking, that you're not a Skywalker, you're not a Kenobi, you're not a Solo, any of that. Yeah. Come with me. You're important to me. I will make you important.
Now what I was going to ask you, is it bad that I'm sitting there and I'm going, please let this happen and fucking kill everybody in existence? I just want Rey to go evil.
All right. And now we're going to close.
I want her Kylo to destroy. I'm a villain guy.
But here's the beautiful thing.
I'm a villain guy.
Now that highlight, one of the highlights of the movie, or one of the, what we call the arcs, the highlight of the arcs of the movie, because at that point, they're struggling over Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, and it breaks, symbolically ending the Skywalker line.
Yeah.
And what we know of as a Star Wars.
Fans hit me up on Twitter and remind me to never bring up Star Wars on the show. Unless it's the topic. People are like, okay, what the fuck is this? All right. Final thought, though. And you can go Star Wars if you want to do that. Give us your final thought for our romantic comedies episode, brother.
Like our romantic comedies that do not fit in a box, I want to let you know that your romance and your love life doesn't fit in a box. There's no one way to love someone. There's no one way to be with someone. There's no one way to give yourself to someone. There's no one way to celebrate Valentine's Day. So I want you to love the way that you love, whether you love a tree or you love a dog or you love Gerald, which would be weird because Gerald's Gerald. But whoever you love and whatever you love, love it authentically. Not in the box, but the way you love. Do that.
I love
it.
I love it. Hey,
see what I did there? You love me. That's beautiful.
Awesome. Andy, you know what? I do love you, and I appreciate it. Thanks, brother. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
We'll see you before that, so I'll be expecting the box of chocolates next time, I guess.
Yes.
And by the way, you sold out to Girl Scout cookies. That's bullshit.
Yes.
So Andy's daughter.
My daughter sells.
Now, if you're a longtime listener to the show, you know this, but the last few years, I've been getting my supply from Andy. Yeah. I've been kind of fiending
a little
bit.
From my daughter,
I've been kind of fiending a little bit. And your daughter sells the Girl Scout cookies. You usually show up with a cart of them, you know, and I'd buy fucking $20 worth of cookies off of you. And so I hit him up last night, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, go ahead and bring the cookies. I'll buy some from you. And he goes, I don't have any cookies. And he shows up here empty-handed. So now I'm literally...
She sold them on like a week.
So now I'm literally like Dave Chappelle, like fucking scratching my face, you know, like freaking out over here. Yeah. So anyway, I got to go hit the Harris Teeter, I guess, and see if they're still selling them out front there. All right, that's it, Andy, for our top five for our top five romantic comedies. Yeah, I really appreciate you, brother. I'll see you next time.
I'll be here next time.
Take care.
All right, bye.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.